It is interesting and helpful that we speak about this, the saint, because normally we don't talk about them in this fashion. And I do know, I'm convinced that befriending the saints and reading about their life and teachings offer us a lot of spiritual insights. It reveals to us the nature of God. It reveals also to us the inner life of the church, and also helps us to understand our Christian life much better, because somehow it's almost like you are reading the gospel again. And so the saints really are there like pathfinders, because they are there. They know the road. The road is unknown to us, so we need some kind of directions from them, because they were like us in all things. And so through the centuries, the church has produced saints who have great humor. And one of them is Saint Philip Neri, who they said laughed his way to heaven. And I want to come with a joke about a saint. It is said that every year on Saint Patrick's Day, Saint Patrick himself comes down out of heaven and goes to an Irish pub. So this past St. Patrick's Day, he goes to Murphy's local pub. Murphy walks in and sees St. Patrick sitting in a corner of the pub with his big green bishop hat, his green robes, and his staff. And Murphy asks the bartender, "Hey, is that St. Patrick sitting in a corner?" And the bartender replies, "Well, yes, it is. He's down for the day." "Well, I would like to get him a drink," says Murphy. And so he pays for his drink and sends over a Guinness to St. Patrick. Next, O'Brien walks in, and he too sees St. Patrick and asks the bartender, "Is that St. Patrick?" And again the bartender says, "Well, yes, it is. He's down for the day." "Well, I would like to get him a drink," says O'Brien. And so he pays for his drink and sends over a Guinness. Next, Paddy walks in, and he too sees St. Patrick and asks the bartender, "Is that patron saint of Ireland himself, St. Patrick?" And again the bartender replies, "Well, yes it is. He's down for the day. He will have a Guinness if you would like to send one over." "Sure, I would love to," replies Paddy. And so he pays for the drink and sends over a Guinness. Now when St. Patrick has finished his pints and getting ready to head back to heaven, he walked over to Paddy and puts his hand on Paddy's shoulder and says, "Thanks very much for the pint. It was very generous of you." "Wow, my arthritis. I had it for years, but now I'm cured. Thank you, St. Patrick." Next, St. Patrick goes over to O'Brien and puts his hand on his head and says, "Thanks very much for the pint. Very decent of you." And O'Brien goes, "Wow, my migraine headaches. I've had them for years, but now they are gone. Thanks, St. Patrick." And finally, St. Patrick walks over to Murphy, but as he gets closer to Murphy, Murphy backs away shouting, "Don't touch me. I'm on disability allowance. I will get your miracle later." So that was it. It's only a joke. As we join our Christian brothers and sisters all over the world on this day to honor our brothers and sisters who now live with God in glory in a state of blessedness, we are actually giving credence to our Catholic belief in the resurrection of the dead, and as well as our belief in the communion of saints. They and we form the mystical body of Christ, or the sacramental body of Christ. We here, actually, there are three parts to this mystical body: the triumphant church, those we are celebrating today, all the saints, triumphant, you know what that means. And then we have the suffering church, that is those in purgatory that we are going to celebrate tomorrow, who are in transition. And then, of course, we have the other part. We all belong to that part, the militant church or the pilgrim church. Here we still have all our bags and baggages with us, struggling with them and with all our human weaknesses and limitations, and still constantly fighting the devil who comes in different forms until we successfully transit this world. So a brief reflection on who the saints are, who are called to be saints, and how relevant that privilege is to all of us will offer us a clearer understanding of our unique and common vocation as Christians and what this day means for us. So about nearly 300 years after the Church of Christ was founded by Jesus himself, the church at that time, or the early Christians, if you like, suffered a series of persecutions, especially under the Romans. Many Christians chose to die rather than renounce their faith. These Christians were called martyrs, which in Greek translation means witness, because they publicly declared Jesus Christ to be God and Savior of all men and women, and they did this not just only by word of mouth, but also by laying down their lives. In time, Christians all over the world started to venerate them because they were convinced that these martyrs were in heaven. People even flocked to their tombs to pay homage to them and to pray to them, to intercede with God for so many of their needs. Gradually, the church started venerating not only those Christians who had shed their blood for Christ, but also others who, while living on earth, had been outstanding examples of Christian life, even though they had a natural death and not a violent death. The number of these saints went on increasing day after day, even to our own time. This led the church, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to establish a feast day in their honor. However, saints are those people who served God most faithfully while living on earth, who were subject, as we are, to frequent temptations of all kinds, including sin. They failed at times in their Christian life just as we do. And despite all that, persevered and strove to be like Christ in all ramifications of life, but ended up their lives in God's friendship and are now in heavenly glory, cleansed of all stain of sin and human weaknesses. While on earth, these people suffered many hardships, including series of persecutions, detachments from the world, when they now begin to realize that I need to be myself. I don't want to go with the flow. I don't want to encourage the status quo, and so on and so forth. They embraced life difficulties with humble, quiet, patient dispositions. And they slowly learned to accept God's will in all circumstances. They adopted a firm resolve to practically grow steadily in the love of God and the love of neighbor, and with their eyes fixed on heaven. Committed to all these and aided by the Holy Spirit, these people quickly advanced daily in personal relationship with Jesus. Some of these saints we might have considered here on earth as ignorant, old-fashioned, without much learning or capability or initiative, too submissive to authority, and somewhat foolish. But now, as we celebrate them, we see them in different light of an extreme and eternal blessedness, just as Jesus promised in the gospel of today. The book of Revelation, like the one we read today, shows them as dressed in white, which is a symbol of having washed their baptismal robe with the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. I mentioned to you some of the experiences they had to go through, but somehow they connected all of that with Jesus. And of course, they frequented the sacraments and their own different personal sacrifices. All of these, united with Jesus Christ, helped to wash their baptismal robe white. They are shown as holding the palm of victory over sin, over all evils, including coronavirus pandemic, the world itself, death, and the devil. These were their struggles during their lifetime on earth. In this feast, we honor and we praise God for having accomplished his salvation in so many of our brothers and sisters throughout the world. These God's chosen ones in heaven are an enormous crowd, countless in number, come from all parts of the world, all strata of society, and from all walks of life. People of all races, color, language, nations have produced saints. This August assembly definitely includes also many of those who loved us and whom we loved, such as our grandparents, parents, brothers and sisters, teachers, spiritual guides, and well-wishers. We rejoice in their sharing of God's life and joy and request them to intercede with God on our behalf. They are our advocates. Plead for us in the heavenly court. They support and enrich our poor prayers with their own and present them to God. They stimulate our interior life and invite us to their company by encouraging us to practice an exemplary life of faith, hope, and charity as they did. The question is, are we called to be saints? And the answer is yes. Every Christian is a saint in the making. This is because at baptism we receive the gift of sanctity. This ideal sanctity is not reserved for a few, but meant for all people without exception. This is the reason why St. Paul, in some of his letters, refers to the Christians or the church as saints, or the church of the saints. And St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the whole of that chapter 1, somehow, is all about this call to be saints. While living in this world, not two of us follow the same way of life. Some of us are farmers, others work in government service, some of us are still young, while others, like myself, are advanced in age, some are married, others unmarried, and so on. Yet for all the differences, we have as Christians a common goal. Whatever we are, and through whatever we do, we are all called to be saints. We may feel like objecting, how can a sinful person like me become a saint? The answer is, it's not only that we can, but we all must by the grace of God. God put us in this world just for this,